రామాయ రామభద్రాయ రామచంద్రాయ వేదసే రఘునాథాయ నాథాయ సీతాయ పతియే నమః. అయోధికాన్ చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 72. భారతస్ గ్రీఫ్. ది రెసిటేషన్ బిగిన్స్ నౌ. Bharata found not the king in his apartments and sought him to those of his mother Kaikeyi. She could not contain her joy and sprang forward to meet her son after his long absence abroad. He entered the dismal palace and saluted his mother by touching her feet with his head. She clasped him to her breast, her darling son, smelt his head and seated him on her lap, crying, "How long is it since you started from your grandsire's city? Poor child, you are almost fainting with fatigue from fast and furious driving. Is it all well with my father and my brother? I wish to hear every detail concerning you since you left this place. But had you a safe and pleasant journey here?" And Bharata made reply, "Mother, it is 7 days since I left Rajagriha. Your father and my uncle Yudhajit are doing well. They would load me with presents and my people could not travel fast in consequence, so I drove in advance, leaving them to follow leisurely. What means this extreme haste to fetch me back? How is it that this golden bed and seat are adorned not by the usual occupant? My father, does he not keep good health? Has he anything on his mind? He spends his spare moments with you, and so I came here to pay him respects. Where can I find him? Is he perchance staying with Lady Kaushalya? I must see him this instant." Her heart was wrapped with her unholy ambition to secure the crown for her son. Hence, she fondly imagined that her terrible news would be most gratifying to him. So she turned to Bharata and said to him, as he stood there all ignorant of the lamentable fate of his wonderful sire, "The glorious king, so noble, so righteous, has even gone the way of all beings." The shock was too much for Bharata, whose pure white soul inherited the virtues of the long race of saintly kings. "Oh, I am lost!" cried he. And the stern warrior as he was and of undaunted fortitude, he fell down in dead faint. But grief rudely dragged him back to life and to its torments. Like the queen of night in her perfect pomp and splendor, as she rides through the clear skies, yon golden seat shone with the king reclining on it. And how hateful and repulsive it looks, in even as a moonless sky or the dried up ocean. A storm of tears choked his words and he covered his face and wept aloud. In dire dismay, Kaikeyi saw her son writhe on the ground in the grip of sorrow, like the lords of day and night hurled down to the earth, or a maddened elephant in the deadly toils of the hunters, or like a stately monarch of the forest felled down by the axe of the woodsman. She raised him up lovingly and said, "Arise, arise, Lord of Kings, arise, chosen favorite of fame. Why roll your shapely limbs in dirt and dust? It befalls you not, this grief. The world praises you as a mine of excellences. Your intellect finds its right work in sacrificial rites and profuse gifts as a result of faithfully following the behests of the Holy Writ and its loving exponents. The sun's rays will sooner desert him than your mighty heart be shaken by grief or misfortune." She strove to console him many a way, but Bharata rose not from where he lay, nor ceased his piteous wails or recovered from the cruel wounds caused by his mother's terrible words. "Alas, I went away from here firmly sure that His Majesty will crown Rama as the heir apparent and will conduct countless sacrifices. My fond hopes have turned to dust and ashes. My heart breaks when I do not behold His Majesty, who is ever absorbed in the welfare of beings. What is the fell disease that rendered me fatherless and I far away? Supremely blessed are Rama and Lakshmana to be with him during his last moments and render him every service and attention. Maybe my father knows not I am here, else he would clasp me fondly to his heart, smell my head and shed tears of joy. Words fail me to describe my feelings when he would wipe the dust off my body with his own hands. Somebody hasten to Rama's palace and respectfully submit that I await his pleasure to touch the feet of him who is to me my brother, my father, my king and my lord, all in one. To one who walks in the way of Dharma, the elder brother is a father. If his majesty has chosen to depart for the mansions of the blessed, who shall I take refuge in but my beloved Rama? My father lives in him, and should I not hasten to pay my respects to him? My sire of blessed memory was profoundly versed in the mysteries of Dharma. He never swerved from the allegiance to truth. Principle and practice went hand in hand with him. Unexampled valor was only one of the countless excellences that adorned him. What was his last message to me? His last advice? His last comments? I long to hear it, my dear mother. Kaikeyi was quick with her reply. You were not in his thoughts when he laid aside his body of flesh. Ha Rama, ha Lakshmana, ha Sita were the last words upon his lips. Like a mighty elephant riding in his strong toils, your sire gazed at me at the moment of death and cried, Ha, blessed are those to whom it is given to behold Rama, Lakshmana and Sita as they enter Ayodhya after their period of exile. Bharata was so stricken at the news of Dashrata's death. Deeper, yet deeper, did the iron enter his soul at the woeful news of the infamous exile of Rama and Lakshmana. So where is he, the soul of righteousness, the darling son of Kaushalya? Why do I not see Lakshmana and Sita? The foolish Kaikeyi knew not that her news would be all hateful and repulsive to Bharata. She fondly expected that it would be the happiest day of his life when he should hear that she had secured for him the throne of the Ikshvakus over the head of the rightful claimant, Rama. To the forest of Dandaka have they betaken themselves in the guise of lowly hermits, Rama and Lakshmana with Sita for a companion. Bharata knew right well that the scions of the Ikshvaku race were ever wedded to the path of right. A mighty fear came over him, born of the suspicion that Rama might have been so exiled for some dark crime or offense. With faltering accents he ventured to ask, What Brahmana has Rama deprived of house, land or gold? What poor innocent did he persecute? Whose wife or woman did he cast adulterous looks upon? Why have they driven him to the forest of Dandaka, as if he were a foul slayer of a Brahmana that walked in the path of the holy Vedas? As is the way of womankind, Kaikeyi's heart beat high with the joy of a glorious achievement, and she was all afire to boast of what she had done and what she meant to do. She was a crowned queen of fools, yet herself conceit, haughty pride passed all thought. Darling, no Brahmana was ever the poorer for Rama's presence in Ayodhya. No poor innocent received any but the kindest treatments at his hand. Know ye not that his eyes are never raised to the faces of others' women? I came to understand that the king meant to seat him on the throne and quite naturally demanded of your father that you should succeed to the crown and that Rama should be banished to the woods. He promised me accordingly, and I had no little difficulty in holding him to it. Rama, Lakshmana and Sita cheerfully obeyed the commands of the monarch and departed to the woods. Rama was near and dear to Dashrath. Grief at being separated from him was too much for the poor aged monarch, and he pined to death in consequence. Arise and reign as the royal traditions would have you. All this I planned and wrought for you, and it is but an earnest of what I mean to do for you. Grieve not, cast aside sorrow and pain of heart, pluck up courage. This fair kingdom is yours to rule, teeming with wealth and corn, abundance and plenty. This Ayodhya salutes you as its lord. Quickly pay the funeral duties to your father as Vashishta and the other religious experts guide you. Let my fond mother's heart be gladdened with the sight of my darling son seated on the throne of the Ikshvakus, the ruler of this broad earth and all it contains. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunabdhye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarvabhomaya Mangalam.